So if James said every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, if he does that, if we've received the download, if everything that we need has already been deposited in us, then we should be ready to release the breakthrough. We're part of the remnant. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this, Mike Patton. It's no accident. So everything that you need to shake Honduras and the surrounding nations has already been deposited in you. Release it, release it, release it in Jesus' name. It's good to have them home and here a few days. You'll be preaching later this year. Hallelujah. God's doing good things in Latin America. Amen. Thank God. Turn to somebody and say, releasing the breakthrough. Tell them, I am releasing breakthrough everywhere I go. That's what people of God do. We are a light of the world. We are a city set on a hill. We are the salt of the earth. We are to make a difference. God did not call you to blend in. God did not call you to go in hiding. He called you to take a stand, to be bold, to hold your head up high. He called you to be a warrior. Are there any warriors in the house? Oh, I thought so. I thought so. I thought I was in the right place. The Lord put this message in my spirit literally just last Sunday. Rita was preaching, and didn't she do a great job last Sunday? And one of the scriptures, I'm going to show it to you in a moment, but when I saw it, my baby jumped. It made my baby jump. What God had already deposited in me just leaped in my spirit, and I thought, I have to deliver that. I've got to tell everybody that we have to release the breakthrough that is in us. We have to release breakthrough everywhere we go. We cannot hold it in. We cannot be selfish. We cannot hoard up what God has given us. And we Christians tend to do that sometimes. We want to hoard it. We're hoarders. We want to keep it for ourselves. Because the devil has lied to us. And some people in the body of Christ have this mentality that we're in competition and there's not enough to go around. Let me tell you, our God is the God of too much. He's the God of plenty. He's the God of abundance. When he said he was going to bless us 30, 60, and 100 fold, he skipped right over 90, mathematicians, didn't he? He just skipped right over 90. The normal sequence should have been 30, 60, 90. But he said 30, 60, 100 because he's the God of too much. He's the God of multiplication. He's the God of increase. He's not just the God of 30, 60, 90. He's the God of 100-fold. He's the God of 1,000 times. Deuteronomy 1 says he will bless us 1,000 times. And he's already made deposits in you. Everything you need has already been deposited in you. Can you get more? Yes. Can you receive more? Yes. Is there more to receive from God? Yes. To take you to another level? Yes. But everything you need to walk in your destiny has already been deposited in you. So let's talk about breakthrough. Our God is the God of the breakthrough. He is the master of the breakthrough. What does it mean to breakthrough? Well, breakthrough means that you are overcoming. It means that you push with a certain intensity against the walls that you are facing, against the oppositions that are before you, against the ceilings that try to crowd down on you. It means that you keep pushing and you don't quit and you do not succumb to the pressure. You do not give in to the forces of evil that come against you, but you keep pressing because you are a warrior until you break through, until you overcome. And God has anointed us as warriors to overcome, as warriors to break through. So breaking through means to overcome. Overcome what? Well, what do you need to overcome? Overcome your doubts, overcome your negative thinking, overcome addictions, overcome anger, overcome pain, overcome your past, overcome your frustrations, overcome the lack in your bank account until there's abundance flowing in your account with the resources to do what God has called you to do. Overcome whatever. We are to overcome. It's a freedom. Breakthrough is a freedom from reoccurring attacks that seem to come against us, against assignments, against generational curses. Breakthrough means that we get saved for real. Well, I could stop there and preach a while. We get saved for real. That means we stop playing church. We stop going through the motions. We stop just acting like we're Christians. Breakthrough means you've got the goods. You are the real deal. People don't wonder whether or not you're saved. They don't wonder if you're playing church. They know that you're the same Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday that you are on Sunday in the Lord's house. They know that Sunday's the day you come to celebrate what He did Monday through Saturday. Breakthrough means just that. You break through. You bust through. You press through. You overcome. You have freedom from the attacks. You got saved for real. It's the opposite of a setback. It's the opposite of being knocked down and quitting. It's the opposite of decline. It's the opposite of loss. It is the opposite of relapse. And let's be honest. All of us have experienced some setbacks, some declines, some relapses, some decrease, some loss. All of us. But the difference is when you break through, you don't let the setback define you. You don't let the decline define you. You don't let the relapse be who you are. You don't let the decrease overcome you. You don't let the loss be who you are. You stand up, you get up, you make a decision, you go forward and you say, I will break through because I am an overcomer. Through the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, I will break through. Give somebody a high five and say, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. I've come here today to release breakthrough to you so you can release breakthrough everywhere you go. That's multiplication. I can only release breakthrough to a certain number of people for a certain number of time. Only 168 hours in a week if I did it all the time, every waking moment and every sleeping moment. But when I release it to you, we multiply. When I release it to you, when you understand, then we go out into the highways and hedges and we begin to release breakthrough everywhere we go. We begin to release it to everybody we see, on our job, in our neighborhood, in our family. I preached a few months ago about Obed-Edom, how the Holy Spirit and the Ark of the Covenant went to his house. And when the Ark of the Covenant was in Obed-Edom's house, everything he had was blessed. We were playing golf the other day with the Iron Men, and Lauren said, these golf clubs are like, they've been in Obed-Edom's house. My golf clubs are blessed. They're going to hit good shots. That's the kind of thinking we need to have. That's the way you need to act. You need to get insight. You need to have an aha moment about the presence of God, the power of God, that wherever he is and he's in you, that means wherever you are, there is blessing, there is favor, there is increase, there is multiplication. People are going to get saved. People are going to say, I feel something different around you. I sense something different around you. Everywhere you go, there is blessing because you house the presence of God. That's breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. So let's look at what happens before breakthrough. Sometimes there is preparation. Sometimes we have to do some things. Sometimes, here's that dreaded P word, process. Nobody likes process. We just want the breakthrough. Give me a breakthrough. Put all on my head and give me a breakthrough. And then we go hucking and bucking across the front. Oh, it's quiet now. But sometimes there's preparation for breakthrough. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes you have to get in this book and read and see what this book says about him and about you and about breakthrough. Sometimes boundaries must be set. Sometimes there have to be parameters. Sometimes we need to set some goals, not just boundaries, but we need to set some goals because we are going somewhere. We are leaving from here and we are going somewhere. God has a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. And God never intended for us to stay in the same place. He never intended for us to be stagnant. He did not intend for us just to stay here in one place, but he created us with motion. He created us as animated humans. And oh, you get excited about some things. What do you get excited about? You get excited about a bonus. You get excited about jewelry. You get excited about a new car or a new gun or a new rod and reel or a new pair of shoes. You get excited about sports when your favorite team. What gets you excited? We need to get excited about what God is doing. We need to say, Lord, fill me overflowing. Lord, let your power and your presence saturate me, fill me. But before breakthrough takes place, there must be some decisions made. Some priorities must be in order. Our motivations have to be right. We have to change our thinking sometimes. We have the wrong kind of thinking. We're not thinking right. We're not speaking right. We're not talking right. We have negative thoughts and negative words. We don't believe God's going to do it for us. Oh, we believe God can, and we believe that he will do it for some people. We might believe, well, he does it every now and then just to show he can. No, 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 no. Either his book is true and his word is true or it's not. So before breakthrough, there's some things that have to happen. But let me just tell you, if you've been here any time at all, even just a few weeks, God has spoken to you. There's been enough word to go out of this house with the folks that speak in this house and in the life groups and in the revival. If you've just been here 6 or 8 weeks, you should have enough preparation and enough process. There should be enough taking place in your spirit, man. You ought to be hungry. You ought to be saying, I want more. I want more of God. I want to see the miracles of God. I want to see people saved. I want to see the hard cases of people get saved. Breakthrough. Here's the scripture, Proverbs 21, verse 22. A warrior, are there any warriors in the house? A warrior filled with wisdom goes up. He ascends. He rises sometimes from the ashes. He rises from where he is. He rises from his struggles. He rises from his defeats. He rises from his battles. He rises from his setbacks. He rises from his pain, from his past, because he is a warrior, and as a warrior, he has been filled with wisdom. So a warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place and releases breakthrough. And when that happens, it brings down the strongholds of the mighty. What's he talking about here? Well, I believe that it's spiritually and physically. I believe that there are, according to the Bible, there are principalities and powers. The Bible says our battle, our war is not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against each other. There is a war going on, but he said, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places or in heavenly places. So a warrior that is filled with wisdom, what is a warrior? Well, I love what the Bible says in Exodus 15:3. It says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. God is a man of war. Did you know that? Exodus 15:3, there it is. God is a man of war. The Lord is a man of warrior. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it said, God said, let us make man in our image. So if we are made in the image of God and God is a man of war, my thinking says, well, we must be warriors. He must have created us for battle. He created us for conflict. We were built for battle. We were built to stand up. We were built to drive the enemy back. We were built to be conquerors. We were built to overcome. We were not built to lay down and quit and give up, but God created us to go forward and to make a difference in this world. So we're warriors. And then it says a warrior who is filled with wisdom ascends. So how do we get filled with wisdom? I'm glad you ask. He said in James 1:5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. I don't know if you need wisdom. If you're dumb as a rock, you need wisdom. I don't know. If you don't have sense to get out of the rain, you need wisdom. If you don't have walking around horse sense, common sense, you need wisdom. But here's the good news. No matter who you are, no matter where you came from, no matter how much experience or experience you did not have growing up, no matter how much you lacked from family or teachers or people pouring into you, if you ask God, he will give you wisdom. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So back to Proverbs 21:22. A warrior, somebody said, that's me. Well, come on, say it like you mean it. So what does a warrior look like? Are they young? Are they old? Are they tall? Are they short? Are they rich? Are they poor? Are they red, yellow, brown, black, or white? All of that. Thank you. A warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place. He rises to the high place. How do we do that? I'm glad you ask. Isaiah 40:31 said, let us mount up with wings like eagles. Let us run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. So God is looking for some warriors who are filled with wisdom, who will rise up to a higher place, who will not stay in the doldrums, who will not stay at the lowest place. Maybe we've all been there. Maybe we've been so low we needed a ladder to get up on top of a dime. But if you've been at the lowest place, God wants to lift you up. He wants you to rise up. It may be one step at a time. It may be inch by inch, but you can rise up to a new place. And if you realize you are a warrior filled with wisdom going to a new place, you can release breakthrough and bring down strongholds of the mighty everywhere you go. That's what we're supposed to do. So let me give you some samples. I wish I had time to preach, but I'm just going to give you a couple samples of some that did. Elijah ascended. He was a warrior. He was a prophet of God. He was a man of God. He was filled with wisdom. And in 1 Kings 18, we read that passage. I don't have time to preach it all. But it said, Elijah said to Ahab, there is a sound of a heavy rain. I hear rain. Now, you've got to keep in mind that when this was written, He had prophesied about 3.5 years before that that it would not rain, and it did not rain for the space of 3.5 years. So there was a drought and a famine in the land. There was no rain. There was no moisture. There was no dew. Food supplies were down to the bottom. Water supplies had gone dry. Brooks and rivers had dried up. There was no water. But the warrior, who was filled with wisdom, was ready to ascend to a high place and release breakthrough. He had discernment of the times. He knew that it was time. So Elijah said to Ahab, "There is a sound. I hear it. It's heavy rain. It's abundant rain. It's about to rain." He was prophesying this with his mouth when it had not rained in 3.5 years. Verse 42 says, Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. He ascended. The word Carmel there means a place of fertile plain, like a garden, a place of bountiful resources, a place where that is fruitful. So he ascended to the place called Carmel, even though there was a drought and a famine in the land. There was no fruitfulness there on the plain at the time because of the drought and the famine, but he was rising to a higher place. God wants us to go to a higher place because it changes our perspective. It changes what we see. The higher you go, the different everything looks. So he climbed to the top. And when he got to the top of Carmel, the Bible says he bent down to the ground and he put his face between his knees. Two things were happening here. Number one, he was bowing down to worship. He was getting in a position to worship, to bow his head, to thank God for what was about to happen, to thank you, you missed that, to thank God in advance for the rain that he was hearing in his spirit, to thank God for what he knew was going to happen because he had begun to prophesy it and he had started the process to release the breakthrough of rain to the nation. Come on, somebody. So before the rains ever came, while it was still dry as cracker juice, he's prophesying. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear it in my spirit. I know it's about to rain. I don't see any rain. I don't feel any rain. I don't see any clouds, but I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. It's about to rain. So he ascended to the high place so he could see from a different perspective. He bowed down his face, his head on the ground, and he began to praise the Lord. But I told you there were two things. So number one, he's going to bow down and thank God. Number two, he is getting himself in a birthing position. He's getting ready to give birth what had been deposited in him. You missed that. Everything you need to walk in your destiny, everything you need to release breakthrough has been deposited in you. So he bowed down to worship, but he was getting in position. He was about to release breakthrough. So then he says to his servant, verse 43, go and look toward the sea. The word sea there comes from a Hebrew word that means to roar, a sound, a roar. But he's telling him to look towards the ocean, towards the sea, S-E-A. But it's the sound, it is the roar, the noise. He said, go look towards that. You've heard me say many times, miracles come on the wings of praise. I don't know if you've ever been to the ocean and heard the waves begin to roll in, but it is a roar. It sounds somewhat similar to people of God in a Pentecostal, spirit-filled environment that recognize who God is and what he's done. And they begin to open their mouth and begin to shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. And as they begin to lift up a shout and lift up a praise, it sounds like the roar of the ocean. I wish I had somebody to help me shout today. I wish I had somebody to help me praise him. I wish I had somebody to open their mouth and praise the true and the living God. Come on, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. So he told the servant, go, look toward the roar. And the servant went and looked. He came back to the prophet of God, and he said these real encouraging words to the prophet. There is nothing. And if that had been some of us, we would have said, I'm going home. I'm calling me an Uber right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we would have gone home. We would have quit because God didn't come through. He promised us rain. We stuck our neck out. We prophesied. We said, I hear the sound of rain. It's going to rain. And we go look towards the ocean where clouds are rising out. The natural process of science begins to take place, and water is evaporated as the sun shines and it starts and there's a cloud. And we would have said, God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't show up. I knew it wouldn't work. Y'all ain't shouting none now. But the prophet said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I've praised the Lord. I'm in position. I'm going to release some breakthrough in just a moment. Go look again. And so he goes and he looks and he comes back so encouraging again and said, there's nothing. There's nothing there. Go look again. And he goes and he looks. Blue sky, clear. No clouds, no rain, no moisture. Dry, powder. And he comes back and says, there's nothing. I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what you're expecting. See, the problem with so many of us is we don't expect. We pray for rain, but we don't even take our umbrella. We have to expect. When a woman is with child, we say, we all say, she's expecting. We all say it. It's culture. We proclaim it. We declare it. We see it. We say it. She's expecting. But when we pray about things, we should be expecting. We should be ready and positioned to give birth to what He's already deposited in us. And we get all discouraged when somebody says, there's nothing. Nothing's happening. It's dry. I couldn't feel a thing in that church. I couldn't hear a thing. I couldn't see a thing. It was dead. There wasn't just a few. There's just a handful of people. Now, there's nothing. I'm not going there anymore. But the prophet said, go look again. Because he was hearing something the prophet or the servant wasn't hearing. He was seeing something the servant was not seeing. He was waiting for the confirmation of what he had already heard and what he had already seen. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, doesn't it say something like that? So he just said, go again. If it had been me, I would have said, go sit out there until you see it, then come tell me. Because I hear it and I see it and it's going to happen. I am expecting it to happen. It's going to happen. See, that's where we have to get. I came here today to tell you how to release breakthrough. When God puts something in your spirit, it is going to happen. It may not be on your time. It may not be on Tuesday, but it is going to happen. Oh, come on, somebody. And Elijah said, go look again. And the Bible says he looked again. Seven times after the first time, he looked seven times. I've never heard other preachers preach this, and some of them would tell me I'm wrong, but I'm not wrong. Because if you go do something once, and then you go back again seven times, how many times is that? Eight is the number of new beginnings. So he looked, and he looked again seven times. A total of eight. But even the commentaries will say on the seventh time. No. It was the eighth time. Read it. Study it out. The servant came back with a report. Verse 44. He said, well, I don't know what you were looking for. I'm not sure what you were expecting. I mean, if you were looking for a cyclone, if you were looking for a hurricane, if you were looking for a tsunami, it's not that. But I did see something. There's a ray of hope. What'd you see? Well, I saw a cloud. Now, don't get excited. Not much. It was just one small cloud. It was about the size of a man's hand. That's all Elijah needed. The breakthrough had started. The breakthrough had begun. The process was in motion. When he heard that, the Bible says, he came down, he began to run, he knew that it was going to rain. The Bible says, in the meantime, you know what meantime is? You've heard me preach it. Meantime is the time between when you proclaim it, when it starts, and when it's fulfilled. It's that space in between. And sometimes it is a very mean time. A time, a span. That is mean, that is tough, that you become fearful, you become afraid, you become worried. What's going to happen? Is it going to happen? Is it just going to start and then stop? Did I miss it? We have all these questions and we have all these battles in our mind. But I remind you today, God is looking for warriors with wisdom that will ascend to a higher place and release breakthrough and pull down the strongholds. And he had done all of those things right. He was in position. He looked. The sign was there. In the meantime, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind arose, and after 3.5 years of no rain, 3.5 years of no dew, 3.5 years of no moisture, after 3.5 years, a heavy rain started to fall, and he had released breakthrough all over the region. I wish I had somebody that would just stand on your feet and begin to release breakthrough everywhere you are. Release breakthrough. Just practice. I'm releasing breakthrough. Wherever I go, I'm releasing breakthrough. I'm releasing breakthrough to the musicians. I'm releasing breakthrough to the camera team. I'm releasing breakthrough to those that are building a memorial. I'm releasing breakthrough to the tithers and the givers. I'm releasing breakthrough to those that need to be healed. I know my time's up. I'm going to quit. But I'm going to give you one more example of releasing breakthrough. 2 Kings chapter 7, there were 4 men with leprosy. Leprosy represents sin in the Bible. There were 4 men. The number 4 is significant. There were 4 men. 4 is the number of the 4 corners of the earth. It's the 4 winds that blow from the 4 corners of the earth. There were 4 men with leprosy, and they were at the gate, the entrance, the gate of the city. The gate, the gateway. The entrance is where the threshold is, where you move from one place to another, from one season to another. In the case of a city, it's where you leave behind everything that is outside the gate, everything that's in the wilderness, the road, the highway that got you there, the criminals that were on the road, whatever is there, and you cross the threshold into the city where there is city, there are people, there is abundance, there are shop owners, there are places to live, there are all the things that are inside any city. These 4 lepers, they were at the gate. Sitting at the gate of the city, sitting at the entrance of the city gate, and they had leprosy. And because they had leprosy, they could not see their family. They could not go into the city. They were outcasts. If they ever went where people were, they had to walk down the street with the leprosy rotting off their fingers and their toes. Sometimes it would rot out their eyes and their ears would fall off and limbs would fall off and there was stench. And they would put them in leper colonies because it was such a contagious disease. I won't preach right there. I'll just keep going. And if they walked down the street, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, giving notice to anybody around to back up. Here come lepers, back up. Don't get close to them. It's contagious. Don't let it get off on you. It'll kill you. And they said this. Now keep in mind, if the Bible is true, everything they needed to walk in their healing, to walk in their destiny, to walk in their purpose, to be restored to their families, to be restored to their jobs, to be restored to their communities, if the Bible is true, everything they needed had already been deposited in them. So they made a proclamation with their mouth. You've heard me teach about your life follows your words. What we say is important. And they said this, why should we sit here on the outside looking in to everything that we would like to have, to the city, where the people are, where our families are, where everything is? Why should we sit here and just stay here till we die? But also in this situation, as you study this scripture, there was a famine in the land there also at this particular time in history. And so they said in verse 4, if we go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here and don't do anything with our head in the sand, hoping something's going to happen, if we stay here, we've already been here long enough. We have the realization. We've had the aha moment. There's no help here. If we stay here, we will die. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, we need to preach on so sometimes. So, let's go over to the camp of the Syrians or the Armenians. Let's go fall in the hands of the enemy. Wow, what a great idea. But they decided we can't go in the city. We're lepers, and if we did, we would die. There's no food there. We can't stay at the wall at the gate of the city because nothing's happening here. If we stay here, we're going to die. Let's go to the hands of the enemy. Let's go to their camp. Let's just go down there. Maybe they'll save us. Maybe they'll feed us. Maybe something, because they were camped outside the city to siege the city, to take over the city. So let's just go surrender. If they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, we were going to die anyway. So these four men, I need you to help me, Tice. These four men begin to march. And as they begin to march, God began to release breakthrough. And it started by multiplying the sound of their steps. There were four men marching. And it got louder and louder as they got toward the camp. There's just four. Somebody say four. There's just four of them. But as they're marching, the Syrians, the enemy, hears an army. They hear a multitude. They hear a crowd. They hear soldiers. They hear more than is really there. It's multiplication in process. Because God had anointed four warriors to rise up out of their ashes and to ascend to a higher place and release breakthrough so the enemies would fall. And they marched. They marched. And as they marched, the Syrians got scared. They began to flee. They began to run. They began to leave their camp, and they left everything behind. They left their animals. They left their food. They left their clothes. They left silver and gold. They left their best garments. They left everything, and they fled for their lives. And these four men, let me change that. These four warriors who had risen out of their junk, ascending to a new place in their thinking, in their mindset, walked into the camp of the Syrians. And when they got there, the place was empty of people. No warriors, no soldiers, nobody trying to kill them. And at first, they didn't know what to think. At first, they didn't know how to act. And so they just started walking through, but then they started plundering. You know what plundering means, don't you? They started going through and taking everything. They started changing clothes and putting on the best garments. They started putting silver and gold in their pockets. They started picking up what they could carry. In the meantime, they're cramming their mouth with food because they hadn't eaten for days. They just began to eat and eat and eat. And then finally somebody said, "Stop. This is not good. All of our people are in the city. There's a famine. They're starving. They're in captivity. Some of them are in addiction. Some of them are broke. Some of them are living in their anger. Some of them are living in their past. Some of them, their families are divorced and broken. They have so many problems. We're not doing good. We've got everything we need here. We've got abundance. We've got silver. We've got gold. We've got animals. We've got horses. We've got everything we need. Let's go tell them. Let's share. Because there's more than enough. There's plenty. You're not hearing me." See, we want to hoard for ourselves. No. The more you give, the more God gives back. If you could get this principle in your spirit, the more you give, God gives back. You cannot outgive God. And they said, "Let's go tell somebody." I don't have time to preach the whole passage. Read it this week. Read it today. But they went and told them, and they thought it was a trick. They sent warriors out first, and they said, "No, it's not a trick. Everybody come." And they came. In a moment of time, four hopeless, helpless lepers released breakthrough to an entire nation. Just four. So here's the scripture again. Now that you get it, this is talking about you. A warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place and releases breakthrough, bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. But there's another verse. And this is you now. Watch your words. Your life follows your words. Be careful what you say. Watch your words and be careful what you say. And you'll be surprised by how few troubles you will have. Watch your words, warrior, filled with wisdom. A warrior filled with wisdom will watch his words. He knows when to hold his tongue. A warrior filled with wisdom ascends, rises, goes to a new place, mounts up with wings like eagles. So he can run and not be weary. So he can walk and not faint. He rises up to a high place and he begins to release breakthrough. Bringing down strongholds. When breakthrough comes, the stronghold cannot hold you. You didn't hear me. I don't care how strong it is, our God is the master of the breakthrough. And when you begin to release breakthrough, you're going to break through. You're going to bring down the strongholds of the mighty, the mightiest, the strongest. Principalities begin to fall. Spirits of sickness, cancer, leukemia, heart disease begin to fall. We're going to empty out hospitals in these last days. Come on, somebody. When you begin to release breakthrough, financial breakthrough comes. People that have struggled, that have sowed seed and sowed seed and sowed seed and paid their tithe and been obedient, and they've still struggled. The breakthrough is coming. The breakthrough is coming. When the breakthrough begins to come, you'll have more money than you know what to do is what the Bible says. He'll open the windows of heaven and you'll have so much you can't receive it all. Breakthroughs of healing. Breakthroughs of deliverance. Breakthrough in your body, breakthrough in your mind, breakthrough in your soul, breakthrough at your house, breakthrough on the job, breakthrough in the neighborhood, breakthrough in churches, breakthrough in communities, breakthrough in nations. Come on, somebody. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. He is the master of the breakthrough. I came here today to release breakthrough. Get up on your feet. He said, Pastor, what kind of breakthrough? What kind do you need? Where are you? What is your purpose? What is your calling? What is your destiny? What is your gift? What is your anointing? When he releases breakthrough, it's for where we are. It's for what we need. If you need restoration in your family, there's a breakthrough of restoration in your family. If you need healing in your body, there's a breakthrough of healing for people's physical bodies here today. If you need breakthrough in your finances, there is a breakthrough anointing here today to break through finances, to break every assignment, to break every financial curse, to break it, to break it, to break it in Jesus' name. I break it in Jesus' name right now, and we release financial overflow. We release financial breakthrough now, now, now in Jesus' name. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Shout it out. Let me hear you. What do you need? Tell me. Tell me. Financial breakthrough, job breakthrough, restoration, healing. Come on, let me hear you. Shout it out. Speak it out. What kind of breakthrough do you need? Opportunity. Breakthrough in opportunity. Breakthrough in relationship. Breakthrough in connections. What about favor? Does anybody need favor? There's a breakthrough of favor coming. Favor is coming. Breakthrough in favor. We release it in Jesus' name. If you need breakthrough in any area of your life, I want you to run to this altar now and get to this altar. Hurry.